Have you ever landed on an island that is literally disappearing underneath you? I'm not being dramatic, I am dead serious. This is Ramp Check on Radio Hangar. I'm Ramp. And I need to tell you about Tangier Island, Virginia, because honestly, I don't know how many more years you're going to be able to fly there. Let me set the scene. You're cruising over the Chesapeake Bay. The water is everywhere. I mean everywhere. And then, out of the haze, this tiny sliver of land appears. It looks like somebody dropped a handful of marsh grass on a dinner plate and called it an island. And right down the middle of it there's a runway. Runway 21/3, 2,400 feet of asphalt, no tower, no fuel, no nothing, except the most incredible fly-in lunch you will ever have in your life. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, Aviation Challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Okay, back to Tangier. The airport identifier is Tango Golf India. And when I say this place is small, I mean the entire island is about 1.2 square miles. That's it. The population right now sits around 400 people. 400 down from a peak of over 1,000 back in the 1930s, and every single year the Chesapeake Bay eats a little more of the island. We're talking about 9 to 15 feet of shoreline lost every year. The Army Corps of Engineers has built some jetties, done some work, but the math is not in Tangier's favor. Some researchers say the island could be uninhabitable within 25 to 50 years, so when I tell you to fly there now, I mean now.
Let me take you through the approach, because it is something else. You're coming in from the east, let's say from the eastern shore of Virginia, and it's maybe a 12 to 15 minute flight from somewhere like Accomack County Airport. You cross the bay and the island just materializes. There's water on every side. The runway sits slightly elevated from the surrounding marsh, and you can see the crab shanties and the little harbor and the white church steeples before you even enter the pattern. Left traffic for runway 21. Watch for birds. I'm not kidding about the birds. Ospreys, herons, gulls, they own this airspace, and they know it. You touch down, and the first thing you notice is how quiet it is. No cars. Well, almost no cars. The island has a few pickup trucks for hauling crab pots and supplies, but most people get around on golf carts and scooters. The roads are narrow. Some of them are just paths through the marsh grass, and the smell, salt air and brackish water, and if the wind is right, steamed crabs. That smell hits you on the ramp. The airport itself is about as basic as it gets, a small parking area off the runway. Tie-down spots on the grass. There's no line service, no crew car, no terminal building in any traditional sense. You park your airplane, you walk across the runway, and you're in town. That's it. The walk from your tie-down to the nearest restaurant is maybe 5 minutes, and this is where it gets good. You have to go to Lorraine's Seafood Restaurant. This is the spot. It has been the spot for decades. You walk in and there are crab cakes the size of your fist, soft-shell crab sandwiches, clam fritters. Everything comes off the boats that morning. I mean that literally. The watermen on Tangier go out before dawn, pull their crab pots, and that catch is on your plate by lunch. You cannot get seafood fresher than this unless you're catching it yourself.
And the crab cake. Oh, let me talk about the crab cake for a second. This is not some breadcrumb-filled hockey puck you get at a chain restaurant. This is almost entirely lump crab meat with just enough seasoning to hold it together. It falls apart on the fork. Every pilot I've ever talked to who has been to Tangier says the same thing. Best crab cake they've ever had. Some of them say best meal, period. But here's the thing about Tangier that gets me. It's not just the food, it's the culture. This community has been here since the 1600s. They speak with an accent that linguists say is one of the closest surviving dialects to Restoration-era English. You'll hear it when you talk to the locals. Words and phrases that sound almost Elizabethan. Some people call it the Cornish accent, because the original settlers came from Cornwall, England. Hearing it for the first time is surreal. You feel like you've stepped back in time. And the people. Oh, the people are wonderful. Everyone knows everyone. The island has one school that runs kindergarten through 12th grade. The graduating classes sometimes have 5 or 6 kids, sometimes fewer. The community is tight in a way that most of us have never experienced. The watermen are up at 3 and 4 in the morning. The women run the restaurants and the shops. The church is the center of everything.
There are two main churches on the island, and Sunday attendance is not optional. I talked to a guy named James on my last visit. He's been crabbing for over 40 years. Started going out with his father when he was 10 years old. He told me the water used to be farther away from the family cemetery. Now, at high tide, some of the oldest gravestones are under water. His great-great-grandmother's marker is gone. Just gone. The bay took it, and he said it so matter-of-factly. Like this is just life on Tangier. You watch the island shrink. You keep crabbing. That conversation stopped me in my tracks.
There's a small museum and history centre near the main road that gives you the full story of the island. How the British used Tangier as a staging area during the War of 1812. How the island survived storms and epidemics and isolation for centuries. The photos on the walls show how much land has been lost just in living memory. Entire neighbourhoods that existed in the 1950s are now open water. For pilots, the approach and departure are worth the trip alone. Taking off on runway 3, you climb out over the bay, and if you turn crosswind to the east, you get this incredible view of the entire island spread out below you. The marsh channels look like veins running through the green. The harbour is packed with crab boats. The white houses with their metal roofs catch the sun. It is one of the most photogenic departures in general aviation. Seriously, have your passenger ready with a camera. Now let me give you some practical stuff, because I want you to actually go do this. Tangier is in the Washington, D.C., special flight rules area, so you need to be aware of the SFRA procedures. You'll want to file a flight plan and have your transponder squawking before you get anywhere near the bay. The airspace can be busy, especially on nice weekends when the bay is full of boats and other pilots have the same idea you do. Contact Patuxent Approach or Norfolk Approach, depending on your direction of travel, and they'll help you through weather on the bay as its own animal. Fog can roll in fast, especially in the spring and early fall mornings. I've heard stories of pilots getting to Tangier under clear skies and having fog sock in the island within an hour, so keep an eye on the conditions and have an alternate in mind. A Comac, which is Whiskey 8-2, on the eastern shore is a good option. Or head back west toward Williamsburg or Newport News if the bay goes grey on you. The runway is in decent shape, but it's narrow and there are no lights. This is a daytime VFR operation only. No instrument approach, no nothing. You land when you can see and you leave before dark. Plan your visit for a midday lunch run. Fly in around 11, eat, explore for a couple hours, and fly out by mid-afternoon. That's the perfect Tangier day trip. Fuel planning is critical because there is no fuel on the island. Top off before you go. If you're coming from the west, there are options at Williamsburg, Jamestown, Hummel Field, or Middle Peninsula Regional. From the east, a Comac or Salisbury will get you sorted. The best time to visit is late spring through early fall. The restaurants are open. The crab season is in full swing, and the weather is most cooperative. July and August can be hot and humid, and the bugs can be intense, but the crab cakes make up for it. Here's what really gets me about Tangier, though. This is a place that aviation keeps alive. The island has a mailboat and a passenger ferry from Crisfield, Maryland, but in the winter, when the ferries reduce service, the airplane becomes a lifeline. Medical emergencies go out by air. Supplies come in by air. Pilots who visit Tangier aren't just having a fun lunch run. They're supporting a community that depends on that little airstrip more than most people realize. And that's why this matters beyond the crab cakes, beyond the cool approach over the water, beyond the quirky dialect and the golf carts and the history. Tangier Island is a place that exists in part because it has a runway. General aviation connects it to the rest of the world when nothing else can. So go, fly to Tangier, eat the crab cake, talk to James if you see him on the dock, walk through the cemetery and read the stones that are still above the waterline, listen to the accent, watch the crab boats come in. Take it all in, because this island, this runway, this community, they might not be here forever, and you will never forgive yourself if you miss it.
This one hit me harder than I expected. Big thanks to the Tangier Island community and the watermen and women who shared their stories with me, and to the Chesapeake Bay Foundation for their work documenting what's happening out there. More at RadioHangar.com. I'm Ramp. Go fly somewhere that matters.